What troubles you about the note itself, though?
What troubles me about the note is the assertions that have been made about it, that it is a advance warning note that predicted or provided details of what was to occur on September 11th. And, you know, I'm a media critic. I write a weekly syndicated column on media and politics, and I've done that for the last 10 years. So whatever the venue or source of assertions, I think it's important for myself and, for that matter, anybody else, you know, to think critically and not just take on faith what is said about a situation or, for that matter, about a document. So in the case of the document of the handwritten words that were written by Mr. Vreeland, apparently, I felt that to look at those words was very important. And when I look at those words, and anybody I know who I've talked with about it who looks at those words and puts any kind of possible, rational, plausible construction or interpretation on those words, the idea that they comprise some kind of, quote, detailed, unquote, advance warning of the events of September 11th, I think is preposterous, you know. And so just as I would challenge the New York Times or the San Francisco Chronicle or any other account that I thought wasn't solidly based on information or plausible analysis, I also am going to challenge an assertion that it's a warning note when it clearly and obviously is not. So that's really what has been, in many ways, my primary concern on this matter.
Part of the reason you have trouble with it is because it doesn't mention the date September 11th. In fact, nor does it mention the month September, nor the year 2001.
Yeah, the only dates on the note are the year 2007 and 2009. So I think the dates 2007 and 2009 are pretty far from September 11th, 2001. And the numbers that I see as well on there are a 96-97. It's unclear whether those are dates or not, but even if they are, that's 96 and 97, again, pretty far from 2001. So it's kind of strains credulity, the idea that this note, whether written haste or not, was somehow a detailed warning of what was to happen. And in fact, there's a list of possible targets in Canada, the U.S., and elsewhere, more than half a dozen of them. You don't have to be brilliant or clairvoyant or to have inside information to know that the World Trade Center might be a target of something, since it already was a target of something in the early 1990s, 93 as I recall, an avowedly terrorist action, and it was known already to be a target from that point forward. So, I mean, there's really, to me, looking at these words on the page, nothing remotely plausible about the contention that this is an advance warning note. And, you know, another way to look at it is, let's say we had these handwritten words in front of us, and it was in August of 2001, what possibly could we see in this note that would in any way make us believe that we had to take specific preparations that would have in the slightest reduced the chances of the catastrophe that did occur on September 11, 2001 actually happening? I think there's really nothing in there that would have tipped anybody off to anything.
I do.
Well, what's that?
Well, there's one aspect of it, that there are buildings mentioned and the name Bin Laden.
Well, there's no date or context for any of that. I mean, how would you protect any of this when your only date is 2007? And also, I mean, I've stared at a lot of these words. I see Vladivostok, I see this, that, and the other. You're telling me you see a Bin Laden word?
Oh, yes.
I believe it's right above Chigrinsky.
No, it's right above Talva, isn't it?
Yes, that's...
It says, yeah, it says note. If you go down on the left-hand side of the page, there's the list of the buildings. I won't call them targets, a list of buildings.
Right.
Then you go down a bit further, and then there's a little, then the let one happen, stop the rest. Then you go down a bit further on the left-hand side, and the first name on...
Well, it says notes, bin, and there's a scribble. You could read that as bin Laden, I suppose, but it doesn't tell you anything. I mean,
no,
that...
I'm
what
not
does that
saying
possibly it, tell you about anything?
I'm not saying – well, okay. Let me tell you what I think. When your assertion that there's no way that you would ever know by reading the note that there is any tie-in with potential danger, shall we say.
No, no, that's not what I said at all. I said there's nothing in this note that looking at it would give you any way of preventing what occurred on September 11th, 2001. There's not even a verb here. There's not a reference to – an airplane. There's not a reference to a time frame. There's not a reference to a technique or an action. There's no verb here. There's no sentence.
Or even, as far as my understanding, there's not even a reference to any specific attack happening whatsoever.
No, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, this is the problem with the Rorschach aspect of this. All this scribbled stuff is, and this really troubles me because it's the notion that we will project our own mindset into it. From whatever vantage point, and then somehow we're supposed to Rorschach our way into thinking that this is some kind of warning. I mean, you know, the excuse has been given, well, he didn't have much time. Well, how much time does it take to write a word like airplane or write the date 2001 or 2002? I mean, it doesn't take any time at all. So to me, looking at this note, let's say September 11th hadn't happened, and looking at it, I think it's beyond far-fetched to think that it would be some kind of warning note of something that would have anything to do with what actually, in fact, did take place. And I think it's a very bad practice for any of us to try to kind of contort ourselves into something along that line. I mean, we've got listings of a lot of proper names. We have Vladivostok. We have very ambiguous comments. We have bilateral. We have this, that, and the other. And I think that once we start building any kind of edifice of assertion on a foundation that is this much rooted in sand, that has no, you know, no stability to it, I don't understand why we would want to do that.
Well, I think in short what you're saying is hindsight is 20/20, and it's very easy to say in hindsight that that may have been a warning, but the document in and of itself before September 11th would have about as much meaning as, you know.
Well, I think that the only phrase on it that serves as any type of statement of dread, shall we say, is the association of the word bin Laden with buildings or places. This shows, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, Norman, about the fact that there are people reading things in, you know, calling the 8 or 9 or whatever places or buildings targets when indeed it is just a building. But the thing is that what we can say quite safely is that Mr. Vreeland was incredibly lucky to have written down some of the words that he did, because it obviously formed a situation that had the September 11th attack not occurred, that he really wouldn't have had much to a leg to stand on.
Yeah, I don't think he has any leg to stand on, period. I mean, he was very unlucky in the sense that there are no words that are really specific to this attack, I would assert. I mean, you know, by the way, I asked Mr. Vreeland to give me the complete list of the words as he reads them, because I'm pretty good at handwriting reading, but there are some ambiguities in here.
Yes.
And so I asked for that, just so that there could be absolutely no ambiguity, and he said he would get it to me ASAP, but I've not yet received it, and I'm not holding my breath. But I think, you know, more to the point, you look at all of it, and if this is an advance warning, then connecting any convoluted fourth dimensional dots becomes possible. And I really object to that, because I think it's not predicated on some kind of rational approach to documents. I mean, this is such a hugely ambiguous piece of paper. At the risk of repeating myself, something that can't come within 6 years of naming a date for an attack, I don't think is credibly a prediction of anything.
We've looked into some of the content of the document, just done some digging around to find out what we can find out about some of the words on there. And I don't know if you've engaged in such an activity. I would hazard a guess that you haven't, merely because you believe the document itself is not a warning, as you put it. And
But hang on. Apparently, it's not just me who says that. As you know the recording of the live broadcast that was on KPFA in California, Vreeland insisted on bringing his attorney on the program, who proceeded to say that it absolutely was not a warning.
And in
absolutely
fact,
was not a warning.
In fact, we've interviewed Mike Rupert since that broadcast, and he is also now stating that it is not a warning note.
So, you know, just for the record, let's note that the three of us, you know, which is, you know, not a terrible way to spend time, but we spend a few minutes, you know, trying to parse this handwritten thing as to whether it's a warning note when, you know, Vreeland's own attorney proclaimed in public when I raised these issues that, in fact, it wasn't a warning note. And I just want to say, you know, clearly for the record, in writing, that Mr. Rupert said it was a detailed, quote-unquote, detailed advance warning. And he was referring not to context, not to verbal things purportedly said. He was talking about the written words themselves. As a matter of fact, I'm quoting here from Michael Rupert. He proclaimed in his own written statement that Vreeland, quote, was able to write a detailed warning of the attacks before they occurred, unquote, on September 11th. So, again, to me, this is highly problematic. And then to flip, perhaps flip later, the attorney flips saying, oh, no, it's not a warning note. Well, I agree with the attorney. It's not a warning note. It's never been a warning note.
I was given the impression through some comments Mr. Vreeland made in some separate interviews that this was not meant to be a warning that people outside of the intelligence community would be able to understand, but that it would possibly be understood by people who had a knowledge of the events or names or objects or spiders that he refers to in the note.
Oh.
Do you have any opinion regarding that?
You know, I mean, that just, you're getting into a never-never land at that point. I mean, his own attorney says publicly it isn't a warning note. You know, the attorney that Vreeland invited onto the air proclaims adamantly it is not a warning note. So now we're supposed to, like, be somehow suckered into this notion that it was in some kind of code, you know? I mean, I just think it's it really goes from the ludicrous to the more ludicrous at that point.
All right.
Because empirically, then you can't measure anything. I could tell you, I could write, I could scrawl on a piece of paper chocolate ice cream with cherries and, you know, tutti frutti trees, and I could explain to you that that's actually, while you may not understand it, actually people in the intelligence communities would recognize it as a warning. I mean, I just think that gets to be very, very silly.
Mr. Vreeland has picked certain things. He's picked certain items. He's found the foundation of his stories. The whole point, the whole reason why the RCMP came to talk to him at that time, evidently, and why he says that he wrote the note, was because it was at the tail end of a conversation or a meeting that he had with CSIS and the RCMP after he had written a letter to Mark Bastion, the so-called embassy worker in Moscow.
Yeah, well, does that have something to do with an advance warning of September 11th?
No.
Yeah, well, you know, that's my focus. Is the only reason we're talking about this again is, and the only reason it's come to any public attention is the assertion, which apparently now has been withdrawn by people who initially asserted it, the assertion that it was an advance warning about September 11th. So, you know, that is why it came to public attention. I think it's clearly been debunked as any kind of warning note. So these other things that are included on the page, you're telling me you don't think has anything to do with September 11th. I haven't written about what Mr. Vreeland may or may have not done in Moscow. I've addressed the question of whether he did write an advance warning note about September 11th, which I think it's pretty clear he didn't.
Right. You're not you're not saying that he didn't work for an intelligence agency. You are just saying that it is not a warning note.
I am saying it is not a warning note, right?
Okay, I just wanted to make that point clear.
I think that's what I'm saying. It's very simple. I think it's very clear. And I just have found it disturbing how long it has taken for that to become clear, or another way to put it, how long it went on where the assertion was made and given credence, you know, week after week after week, that this is some kind of warning note. And, you know, as a media critic, I really encourage people to not just take it on faith because somebody put it in an email article or something, you know, or put it on their website, but actually look at the document and then think for themselves, you know. That's been my focus.
You, as we have also, spoke with Nick Prawn about the article he wrote in the Toronto Star. I guess I'm just interested in your conversations with Mr. Prawn and if that led you to any conclusions, because
actually they didn't lead me to any conclusions because I had reached the conclusions by looking at the note and trying to compare it to the claim made that it provided, quote, detailed, unquote, advance warning of September 11th. So, you know, that assessment of mine that such a claim was preposterous, it wasn't affected at all by anything written or said by Mr. Prawn.
What was your interest in speaking with him?
Well, I wanted to check with him and see, for one thing, if he'd written anything else since what popped up in Nexus last October.
Mr. Vreeland made assertions prior to your appearance together on the KPFA program to me over the phone that he was going to expose you as having military ties.
Yeah, it's such, you know, it's so laughable, and I mean, in a way, between me and him, there's one of us who's been proclaiming that they've been in the military, and of course that's him. And so, I mean, to me, it's just kind of the umpteenth confirmation that the guy is just totally out of touch with reality. Ironically, I would have gone to Canada rather than been drafted during the Vietnam War when I was draft age, and I would no more think of joining the U.S. military as I would proclaiming that I'm a rocket ship and flying off to the moon.
Now, with regard to Mr. Rupert, who you've been critical of in this regard, I wonder whether there are any other things that Mr. Rupert has been saying about the general information that he's been putting forth or the speculations that he's been putting forth with some evidentiary background about the 9/11 attack and about perhaps some other perpetrators other than the Bin Laden group. Are there other things that you find that you've been critical about beyond the Vreeland topic?
Yeah, you know, Mr. Rupert has said, and I'm quoting here, that the Bush administration had complete foreknowledge of the attacks. That's a quote. The Bush administration had complete foreknowledge of the attacks of September 11th. And I think any kind of fairly logical interpretation of the phrase complete foreknowledge would convey that Bush woke up on September 11th and knew that there were people who were going to crash planes into the World Trade Center. I mean, that's what I interpret from that phrase on that day or that week or something. And I think that when you make a statement like that, you ought to have evidence, you know, and I just don't think the evidence is there. And so I think it's better to first provide the evidence that would lead to the conclusion rather than proclaiming the conclusion with a lack of evidence to back it up. So that, you know, that's a problem I have.
And this is the same assertion.
And, you know, I would hasten to add that there's a lot of stuff that he puts forward that is quite factual, but it just doesn't lead to that conclusion.
About the KPFA interview itself, can you just give a little bit of background about how you were approached to be on the program and how you felt you were treated on that program?
Well, I was invited at least 2 full weeks. I think it was a little over 2 full weeks before the May 15th broadcast to come on the program. And I agreed to go on it, knowing that the hosts and producers of it were inclined to put a lot of credence in the assertions made about Vreeland's note, you know. So in other words, I realized that I was coming on a program where I would probably be the only person who would express disagreement with the verdict, you know, that it was a advance warning note of September 11th, et cetera, et cetera. But I accepted the invitation because I had written a column that referred to Vreeland and talked about the note, and I knew that there were people who really trusted what Vreeland said about the note and what Mr. Rupert said about the note, and so I just felt I'd go on in and kind of take my chances, and at the very least, I knew it would be live, so hopefully I could, you know, just try to explain where I was coming from. And, you know, subsequent to accepting the invitation, I tuned into the program for the couple of broadcasts before, because it's a weekly program, and I heard the assertion made as though it were absolute fact that it was an advance warning note that Vreeland had written. So I just went into it with my eyes open, but at least felt that I could say what I had to say. As to the other part of your question about how I felt I was treated, well, you know, the producers were in control of the program, and you know, they said what they wanted to say, and at least I had a few minutes to express my own point of view.
And what has been the reaction that you have received following that broadcast?
Well, one of the interesting reactions has been that prior to it, there was, I understand, a fair amount of, you know, listserv discussion and, boy, oh, boy, this program's going to come up. Vreeland is going to really shut down Solomon and make it clear that Solomon's wrong. And, you know, there was quite a lot of buildup going on. I saw something that Mike Rupert sent out by email on listservs and so forth, where he was saying the chances were I wouldn't even show up to the broadcast. And, you know, just a lot of kind of advance drum beating to the effect that this would be a very important acid test, and that the debate would then show that, you know, Solomon had it wrong, and that Vreeland's, what Vreeland wrote really was a warning note. And after the broadcast, it all seemed to disappear. You know, there was very little follow-up that I'm aware of, and people just, the true believers in the Vreeland note seemed to, you know, frankly, those who were listening, and I did hear from a few of them by email, some of them seemed rather taken aback that what they had heard about Vreeland didn't seem to be verified by what he and his attorney actually were saying on the air, particularly about the handwritten notes that he had written.
Were there any rules applied to you being on the program, things that you could do and couldn't do?
No, as a matter of fact, I was invited on, and I was told ahead of time on the phone that it would be, during the segment I was on, it would be only myself and Mr. Vreeland. And I discovered, you know, soon before the broadcast that actually his attorney would be on as well. You know, Vreeland's attorney would be on. And it was kind of a unstructured program, and you know, it wasn't my show, and I didn't want to overstep. You know, I was invited as a guest, and I didn't want to tell people how they were going to run their show or should run their show, you know. So I showed up, and I was told there would be a setup piece for about 13 minutes, and you know, it was pretty carefully scripted and edited, and you know, certainly took Vreeland's position in terms of the validity of the claims made about his note. And you know, there were, you know, innuendos about me and so forth. But you know, I'm accustomed to being attacked for my own views. It's just usually I'm attacked by people who think that George Bush is a wonderful guy, you know. This just was happened to be an attack from a different direction. But my overall feeling is that if you can't be honest about your real perceptions in public, then you probably shouldn't be writing or speaking about these sort of issues. And if I start kind of keeping my head down and being quiet because I don't want particular people or institutions mad at me, whether it's some, you know, government official or editor at a mainstream newspaper or somebody who believes that Mr. Vreeland wrote a warning note, you know, I may as well hang it up if I'm going to self-censor because I'm afraid somebody's going to get mad at me.
Going into the interview that you were actually going to be maybe in dialogue with Mr. Vreeland, and since you have expressed earlier in this interview that you were a bit curious about some of the unintelligible scrawlings that were on the note, did it ever dawn on you to actually ask Mr. Vreeland to ask him about those and what they meant in that interview?
I didn't really think that that was crucial. I wanted to, especially given that there was only a few minutes that I had apparently to talk, I really wanted to address the question of whether it was a warning note, because that was what was bringing us all to the table, you know, that assertion. And I wanted to really try to get to the bottom of that, and frankly, I was surprised that with such clarity and immediacy, his attorney acknowledged very adamantly that it was not a warning note. So, you know, I didn't want to get into a lot of other stuff about the note, because frankly, what I really cared about, and because I have nothing against Mr. Vreeland, I'm not trying to put him in jail or keep him in jail or get him extradited or not get him extradited. I bear him no ill will whatsoever. Frankly, I'm not that interested in what he did or didn't do in Moscow or anywhere else. I'm interested in anything that bears on this question of whether it's a warning note.